pause for prayer. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to be together, to be gathered, to celebrate who you are. God, to open your word, to be challenged in it. And God, as we wrestle with the great commandment, and what does it look like for us to love others? And God, may we get honest with the barriers that we face. May we get honest with our need to address these things, to take your commandments seriously and to reach out and love our neighbors well. So God, just be in this time and ask that you would speak to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke 10, beginning in verse 38, and in this we are going to see the first barrier that we talk about is the busyness barrier, the busyness barrier. Some of us live with this on a day-to-day. Some of us, maybe it's not as difficult, this one, but we see this play out here with Mary and Martha, this kind of busyness thing. So let's just take a look at these first couple of verses again, and then we'll talk about it. So it says, while they were traveling, so that would be Jesus and his disciples. So while they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand here." Now, let's talk a little bit about what's happening here and the dynamic between Jesus coming and being welcomed and Mary and Martha. It says that she welcomed him into her home. Now, this was a very common practice in that day where a traveling teacher or rabbi, if you will, would come to town, and they were dependent upon the hospitality of somebody in that community that would invite them in, and they would teach in that, and they would receive hospitality in exchange for that teaching. In fact, Jesus, when he sends out the disciples in pairs during his ministry, and he says, go into the towns and villages, and if they receive you, you know, eat what is given to you and stay there. Receive that hospitality. This was a common practice here. And so Martha is doing a very typical thing here. Now, this is the first time in the Gospels that we encounter Mary and Martha. We will see them again in John when their brother Lazarus is raised from the dead. And certainly by that point, we recognize that they had a particularly close relationship with Jesus. But they're not mentioned in advance of this. So we can't know for sure, but it's quite possible that they had already had interactions with Jesus. They knew something about him. Maybe they had traveled with him for a while. But so this is either a first interaction or they already had some connection there. Now, the text goes on to say that Martha had a sister named Mary who also sat at his feet. Now, this gets a little bit interesting here, because this reads a little bit different than when Ryan read it. And we know there's different translations, and we know that sometimes those different translations will read a little bit differently. And so sometimes we have to do a thing where we go back into the Greek and we look at, okay, why is this translated this way? Why is this worded this way in my English? And what does it say back in the original language? Well, in the original language, there is a little conjunction word, and the word is the word chi. If we were to look at it, we would say there's a K, an A, and an I, chi. And that is a conjunction. It's often translated as and here. And some of the translations just kind of gloss over it. But some of them include this in there, and it most likely reads as an also, as it describes her sitting there. And so the picture, and it kind of for me gives a little bit different picture than I always understood what was happening here. Because what I had always understood was that Jesus comes in and Martha is just in the kitchen slaving away and Mary's sitting at his feet. But I think a more accurate picture of what is happening here is that Martha is sitting at his feet. Mary is also sitting at his feet. This word that's there in the Greek combines the two here as it describes them sitting. And yet it says that Martha is distracted by her many tasks. Now the verb there, distracted, literally means pulled away. So I think a better way to look at this scenario, this scene that Luke is describing here, is that both of these women want to sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him and listen to what he has to teach. But Martha cannot not help herself, and she is pulled away constantly to go and do the hospitality things, the things that are expected of her, the things that the cultural norms would say, this is what you are supposed to do when you are entertaining someone in your home. You are to serve them. You're to prepare food. You're to do all of these things. And yet she's pulled back and forth because she wants to sit there, and then she's going back and forth, and eventually out of frustration, she's like, Lord, don't you see what's happening here? Tell her to help me. She's exasperated in this. So what was it that was pulling Martha away? Was it the expectations of society? That this is what a good hostess would do? Was it her personality and a drivenness, and she's just one of those busy people that can't sit still? Or was it this spiritual desire to serve Jesus because who she believed Jesus to be that pulled her away? It doesn't necessarily say what the reason why she was distracted, pulled away. I mean, we can look at these, and my guess is probably all of these played a little bit of factor in this. These kind of pressures can create a busyness in us, can't they? And like Martha, that busyness can distract us from being, just being with people. See, neighboring well, it's not about doing something. That, oh, my neighbors need something. It's not about doing, but it's about being. It's not an issue of activity necessarily. I mean, there might be things to do, but it's more an issue of presence. Are we present with our neighbors? So the solution to busyness is not usually about eliminating bad or negative or even harmful things from our lives. Most of the time, especially for those of us that have been walking with Jesus and following Jesus for some time, most of the time, the things we are busy with are good things. We fill up our lives with good things. We're doing things for the church. We're volunteering at the soup kitchen. We're serving at the school. We've got a job. We're taking care of our children. We're putting a meal on the table. We're doing good things. And when we look at Mary and Martha here, was serving Jesus a good thing? Yeah. Yeah, it was a good thing. This wasn't like she was out sinning. She was serving the Lord himself. It's a good thing. If you want to eliminate busyness from your life, the hardest part about it is that you're going to have to say no to some good things. I mean, there is no end to good things that we can be doing. I could give you a list of community places that you could volunteer and you could fill up your day 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, serving in some kind of capacity. There is no end to good things that we can do. The reality is that you as an individual can't do all of them. We have to say no to some good things in life. And if we're going to eliminate busyness that will allow us to be present in the lives of other people and have time for conversation and time to get to know our neighbors, we're probably going to have to say no to some things. And here's the thing that is difficult for me to say, and some people that help churches do kind of what we do would probably say you're crazy for saying this, but I think it's true. Some of the things you're going to have to say no to might be things around here. Yes, that's me giving you permission to say no to something that you might get asked to do around here. What was Martha doing? She was literally serving Jesus. Now that, to me, is a whole lot more interesting than a committee meeting. Right? So sometimes it's, or I would say more often than not, it's saying no to good things. And that's hard. And that's hard. Now, the art of neighboring is not about adding demands and expectations to our lives. I pray that you don't receive this series and the things we're talking about this in this way. That, oh my goodness, now Pastor David is saying there's 10 other things that I have to fit into my week and I barely have time to sleep as it is. He has no idea how busy I am. This is just crazy. I can't do this. Listen, we have enough to juggle as it is. I get it. There's a lot that we're juggling. And over the years, the church in general, whether it's our church or just churches in general, the church has far too often been guilty of piling on expectations to us. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But sometimes being part of a church and sometimes following Jesus and all of the expectations that get put on us doesn't feel like a very light burden or a very easy yoke. And some of you have felt that over the years. And there's some areas where we as the church or leaders in the church have to confess that we've been wrong in some of that. And we're sorry about that. So please don't receive this idea of the art of neighboring and living out the great commandment in our neighborhoods and loving our neighbors well as us trying to pile on more expectations to you. It is about simplifying and prioritizing our lives so that we might make space for people. Now, I get it. That's easier said than done. Life is complex. Our modern lives go a million miles an hour. You are attached to that phone. People can get you at a moment's notice. Your clients, your family, the demands are there. But if we can simplify and prioritize our lives and those rhythms and those routines that we have and say no to some things, we just might have a way of addressing this busyness barrier. So that's one of the barriers. And if you're following along in the book and stuff like that, they talk a lot about that. So there's a couple other barriers that come to mind for me. And then this one is the expectations barrier that we see here. All right, so verse 41, the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. It's just not up to the standard that it's supposed to be, and she's getting frustrated and she's upset about this stuff, right? And I get it. Some of you today that are here, you're a doer, right? And you're looking at this and you're like, you know, yeah, I get Martha, right? You're the get or done types, right? The ones who get bored on vacation. You can't sit through an entire TV show without getting something done. You know who you are, and you're thinking right now, darn right, Jesus, she should be upset because her sister is lazy and should be helping her in the kitchen. And we're reading this passage, and you're like, oh no, this one again. All right, so just calm down. I hear you. I know you're out there, all right? But why is it that Martha is worried and upset about these things? Why is it? I think one of the big things that's happening here is the expectations that society puts on us, right? The expectations. For some of us, there is a tremendous pressure that we feel. Now, depending on ways you were raised, what this looks like in the families that you grew up in, and all this kind of stuff, it's going to look different for some of you, right? In the same way that the busyness may not be an issue for some of you, and it may be for others, right? But for some of us, there is a tremendous pressure of what does it look like to be a host or hostess properly, right? Can people just pop in at your house and hang out with you, and your neighbor come in and make a sandwich out of your fridge, right? The idea of somebody coming over unannounced and you not being ready to be a host or a hostess gives you nightmares, okay? I get it. There is, and some of this is the expectations that society has, that if I'm inviting people over, if I'm going to have people in my home, it has to go perfectly. When we moved to Ocean Park to pastor at Peninsula Baptist Church up there, there were not a lot of other young families in that community. It was a retirement community. And so one of the other families with young kids invited us over very early on, and we were just super excited to have the invite and to go over and spend some time with this family that had children around the age of our children. You know, hey, this is great. Let's do it. So we show up. And we are greeted at the door, and we come in, and the first thing that we see is their children dive bombing the couch from the stairs. And you know how kids like to, like, here we've got a couple of steps, and after church, if you hang out, you'll see the kids showing their parents that they can jump down these steps. Okay, this was like 8, 9, 10 steps up was the landing, and these kids are just dive bombing down to the end. Some of them hit the couch, some of them didn't. I think there might have been a concussion. I'm not certain. But it was chaos. And so we come in, and our kids are just like, whoa, what's going on here? And so we chat for a little bit, and then it's time to eat. She's got the meal basically ready. And so it's a spaghetti meal. And so she's like, hey, guys, go ahead and serve yourselves. And so we're like, great, where's the dishes? Like, there weren't dishes out. So then we had to go and we had to find dishes. And so we get our kids, and there's a kids' table and the adult table, and we get our kids set up, and the kids are eating. Our kids are sitting and eating at the table, and their kids, I'm not sure if they sat. They might have stood on the chairs when they did eat, but they were still running around and jumping and all this. I mean, they were very busy. And our kids were just like, whoa, like, this is not like mealtime. Like, we don't do that at our house during dinner. And so we have the meal, and I'm sitting there, and I'm eating my food, and they have a Great Dane. Now, if you're familiar with Great Danes, they are massive dogs. And so I'm sitting there eating, and all of a sudden there is a head resting on the table, not because the dog is being inappropriate and jumping up on the table. That's just literally how tall the dog is. His head is just sitting there on the table next to my plate. It was a little awkward. And so we're eating, and then we were, oh, we don't have anything to drink. And so the gal says, oh, here, let me get you some glasses. And she gets out mason jars, and she's like, sorry, we don't have any glasses. The kids have broken them all. And so she gives us jars to drink out of. And so we're drinking out of jars, and which works. And So then she gets done eating, and we had brought dessert. My wife knows how this stuff works. Thankfully, I have a wife who knows how this works, and she's like, what can we bring? Because I would not know to ask that. And she's like, bring some ice cream for dessert. So we brought ice cream for dessert. And so she gets done with her, the hostess gets done with her food, and she gets up, and she serves herself some dessert, sits down, and starts eating her dessert. And it doesn't serve any of us, you know, dessert. And she gets done with her dessert, and she's like, well, my TV show is on, and we don't have cable, and so I'm going to go to my friend's house to go watch my show. And she's gone. And that was the end of the dinner. Listen, I share that story. I forgot one thing to mention. Yeah. And that's this. That dinner goes down as the second most bizarre dinner party that we've ever been to. And so the first one involved a Lebanese woman and my very pregnant wife. And you'll have to ask her about that one later. I share the story because I get it. Sometimes we won't do these things because we're like, I don't know. I'm not a good cook, or my house isn't that nice, or, you know, my kids are out of control. All right. You know what? At the end of the day, they had us over and we shared a meal together. We had fellowship. Was it crazy? Was it chaotic? Was it memorable? Absolutely. But they had us over and we were able to build connection and relationship with them. Right? We didn't reject them because it was a weird night or a crazy night. No. We got to know who they are. Right? It's not going to always go perfect. So what? You might burn the biscuits. Big deal. You have the ability to make connections with your neighbors and have them over. You know, it's incredibly ironic, right, that, the name here is Martha is the one that's freaking out because, you know what, forget what Martha Stewart has to say about the rules of having people over. In all seriousness, some of that stuff and the expectations that puts on us has done some of the worst damage to having people over and feeling like we can be real with people. That it has to look like a magazine. It doesn't have to look like a magazine, you guys. And it doesn't have to look like Leave It to Beaver. We're real people. Our neighbors are real people. All right? You can have interactions with them and have them come over. All right? Comfort barrier. Let's talk about the comfort barrier. The comfort barrier. So Jesus wraps up by saying this. He says, one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. One thing we don't talk about enough is the cultural subversiveness of Jesus' ministry. See, it was not culturally a norm for the women to sit at the feet of a rabbi and learn from a rabbi. This was actually radical stuff that is going on here, and that Jesus is willing to teach Mary and Martha in this, and that it's acceptable that they are sitting at Jesus' feet as learners. It's, in fact, scandalous in that, and no other rabbi would actually allow that. He would have an expectation that the women are in the kitchen and the men of the home are learning from the rabbi. That would have been the cultural norm in this. So could it be that something in the practice of sitting and learning from the rabbi made Martha uncomfortable? She's out of her comfort zone. Her comfort zone was being in the kitchen, was preparing, and was doing all of that stuff. And this was getting her out of her comfort zone. We don't like getting out of our comfort zones, do we? I've got a chair in my house. That is my comfort zone. Right? Some of you guys are like, amen, I got my chair too. Yeah, all right, that's my comfort zone. My neighbor's driveway is not my comfort zone. But if I'm going to interact with my neighbor, I have to go outside of my comfort zone and go over and have that chat, have that, ask them how it's going, you know, whatever, make that connection, right? We stay in our comfort zones for various reasons, right? They're predictable, right? We know what's going to happen in our, we know how it's going to go in our comfort zone. We have control over it. They're controllable environments, right? You start interacting with the neighbors in your neighborhood or the people down the road, you don't know how it's going to go. You don't have control. There's issues of safety. My comfort zone is safe. I feel very safe in my chair, right? There's fear involved. Are they going to receive me? Are they going to think I'm a crazy person? Are they going to reject me? There's insecurity in that. So all these reasons that we stay in our comfort zone. And I get it. For some of you, reaching out to neighbors is really getting you out of that comfort zone. But Jesus is in the business of calling us out of our comfort zones. In fact, Jesus himself left his comfort zone to come and to be among us, to go to the cross. We have a God who leaves his comfort zone to engage us, to be there for us, to be with us, to be in relationship with us. And he calls us out of our comfort zones. And I think in this story here, we see Mary embraced being out of her comfort zone. Martha struggled with it. She struggled with it. And I think she was mad that Mary could do it and she couldn't. Sometimes we get upset because somebody else can do that and we can't. So what are the barriers that you are dealing with? Your barriers are going to be different than my barriers. Your barriers might even be different than your spouse's barriers. What are your barriers? Think about that. What are your barriers? Is it busyness? Right? Maybe there's something or more than something, more than one thing that you can eliminate out of your life, and it's probably a good thing, or maybe you can delegate it to somebody else that's going to create space for your neighbors. There's a passage in Psalm 90, verse 12, where the psalmist says, "Teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts." How we spend our time, we all have the same amount of time in our lives. You get 24 hours in a day. You don't get any more or any less than the next person. Teach us to number our days. Ask God. Let him speak into your life in that. Maybe it's an expectation barrier. What are the fears that you have in inviting somebody over? Talk with your spouse. Talk with your kids about it. What do they think? Have a conversation. Talk with the Lord about it. And comfort zone. Maybe it's just you're struggling to get out of that comfort zone. Well, is God calling you to take a risk? Maybe he is. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your willingness to step out of your comfort zone in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, to come and engage in creation, to show us what love looks like, to show us what serving others looks like, to show us how we are to live. God, help us to be ones that are willing to get out of our comfort zone, to be the initiators in our neighborhoods, to be missionaries for our neighborhoods, that we might get to know others, that we might have opportunity to love them, to share with them, Lord, because you've placed us in that neighborhood for a reason. We thank you for that. We ask your guidance and direction over us and the strength that we need through your Holy Spirit to act on the things you're calling us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.